Again, church, thank you so much for hosting the national meeting this past week. My wife and I surely needed it. And the message, in fact, I bought the MP3. I wanted to hear them again to remind myself of the blessings that has been preached through the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor Ted, again, for leading the church, for hosting it. The special music, I don't know, I didn't count. I think there's about 50 special music. The choir, oh, everything was wonderful, but especially the food. I enjoyed the food. And it's not Filipino food, but it's American, good American food. And I didn't miss almost all the meals I was here. Saved a little money from our church side, but... Also, you have fed us so well, and a wonderful fellowship with fellow servants of God. And as I said this morning, if I have not been saved and I have not been called to the ministry, I would not have met Pastor Ted. And by the way, I too read all your articles there as moderator at our Baptist Times, and I enjoyed it every time. And he's been gracious to preach to our church as well. So if you happen to be in our area, San Diego, I was told it's a little cold here on winter. It's a little warm there at summer this time, drought. But winter time usually doesn't get as cold this year, I believe. So please visit us there in San Diego area. We're about 5 or 7 miles to the border. And as I said in Sunday school hour, make sure you bring your passport if you plan to cross the border. But I don't really recommend that right now. So... stand with me, please, and open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 20. And we'll be reading the first 15 verses this morning. Thank you again, Pastor Ted, for giving me the privilege to preach this morning. Matthew chapter 20, and I'll be reading the first 15 verses. Please follow as I read. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, Why stand ye here all day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, This last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which hast borne the burden of and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for this parable from thy word of the laborers in the vineyard. I pray that you help me as I preach today. Thank you again for your love for each one of us in this room. Thank you for our Savior who loved us enough to die on that cross and shed his blood to redeem us from our sins. Thank you that he is alive and we have a hope of seeing him perhaps tonight. I pray that you'll be glorified in this service. Thank you for your wonderful people in this church and their pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Well, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. He sent a letter to a church at Philippi to admonish and encourage them. In that letter, he mentioned the name of a young man by the name of Timothy, one of his sons in the ministry. So if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, he wrote to them in Philippians 2, verse 19 and 20, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Paul is commending them, Timothy, and he said, Timothy has the nature just like I do to care about you. He cared for others, and therefore God has used him in a great way. In fact, notice verse number 21, he contrasted Timothy with some other so-called Christian workers. He said in verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." You know, he's saying to this church that, you know, Timothy desired to be used of God, and not like others who do not really want to be used of God. They just rather wanted to use God to advance their own agenda. Have you ever met people like that? You know, sometimes people come and be friendly and join, and then later on I found out they're trying to sell something. You know, if you're doing that, well, fine. You know, I told them, go outside the parking lot and do that, but please don't make this house. This is the Lord's house of prayer, of worship and prayer. If you want to do some business, you know, make an appointment with the people and so on. And sometimes they want to convince me to put something in the bulletin and so forth like that. But you know, I said, we are not here for ourselves. We're here to serve the Lord. And if you are in that business, thank God for businesses. But there's a place for them, I told them. But there are those that try to do something for God, but really just to use God to advance their own agenda. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. But Timothy is not like that. Timothy is a servant of God. You know, it is really sad when people just want to use God for their purposes rather than desire to be used of God, whatever God wants them to be or wherever God sent them to, where to go or what to do. If we're not careful, sometimes we ended up manipulating God to do what we wanted done, rather than trying to get ourselves in a position where God can use us for His honor and for His glory. And by the way, if you wanted to be used of God, you know, you see people that sing here, play piano, sing choir, and preach and so forth. By the way, God is looking for someone to use. God is looking. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9. The Bible said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." God is looking for someone that He could use to bring glory and honor to His name. Very quickly, let me just share four things this morning. The title of the message is, do you want to be used of God, or you just want to use God for your own purpose and for your own glory? You see, first of all, if you want to be used of God, do not be overly concerned of what you could get, but be concerned about what you could give to God. You see, the reason why this parable was given by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter number 20, it was a response to the Apostle Peter's question, as he asked him in verse 27 of Matthew 19, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" I mean, I'm glad Peter asked that question for us. I mean, sometimes we don't want to ask that kind of question, but Peter said, "We have left everything, our father's boat and the nets and our business, and we followed you. What are we going to get from you now?" Well, notice the answer of the Lord, Matthew 19, verse number 28 and 29. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life." You know what the Lord is telling Peter? You don't have to worry what you could get from serving me, Peter. Just be concerned of what you can give me. I will take care of you. We have a record in the Word of God from the Old Testament, therefore our learning, how God has taken care of His people. From the abundance they cried to God, and God sent a deliverer and delivered them. And 40 years in the wilderness. By the way, it's their own fault. They did not believe God. They missed their opportunity, so they have to wonder. And so forth. Yet God, again and again, supplied their need. You know, as I told you, our church was started by a missionary who supposedly have retired because of his illness, but he saw that, you know, he don't have to go back to the Philippines to serve the Lord. They're here. I don't know how many thousands of us have come here to America. America is a wonderful country. And so some people don't believe that, but I do. I came from a third world country, and I know what that meant. If you've never visited the Philippines, I hope you visit it. When I was in the service, I realized some of the shipmates of mine never been overseas. When they got to Taiwan, they got to places, and the Philippines, they realized how blessed they are in America and those others who don't have that privilege. And so when I came here, I'm so thankful. But you know, I pray that you will be realizing what you have. Well, anyway, Pastor, now realize that God has shared in his heart. You don't have to go there here. And by the way, that's the same true here with you in Indianapolis. I believe there are so many, I don't know how many Filipinos you have, but I've seen some Mexican restaurants, so I figured there's some Spanish-speaking people here and so many other things that you could start reaching for the glory of God. And so Pastor now told me, as a missionary, God has taken care of him there in the Philippines. By the way, I always appreciate those first missionaries that went there when the Philippines is 98% Catholic at that time. I mean, very hard, but yet, you know, by the grace of God, they were faithful. They plowed the field, they sowed, and he said they were stoned. He got sick over there, but he stayed faithful, and God took care of him. Today, Philippines is a ripe field, but it could have not been a ripe field without those missionaries who went there and sowed and plowed. And not only it's a ripe field, but they're now sending missionaries just like you are here, supporting their own missionaries to other countries. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Wood, the missionary that went home and furloughed, a Filipino guy took that work out there in Zambia. So I'm really thankful for the ministry again of the American missionaries that you sent over and support in the Philippines. And thank you for your involvement to missions. Pastor Nell said to me, God has taken care of me and my family, and I cannot tell you how God has taken care of me and my wife. You know, as I told you, I was in the military 11 and a half years. This was E6, Navy 8 and a half years. I could have retired, but the God opened the door for us. Pastor Nell said, I'm praying for a young Filipino guy to take over this work. I'm crippled, I'm sickly, and somebody has to continue to lead this church. And you know, I told my wife, he asked us to pray about that. I'm so thankful for my wife who supported me. She could have easily said, no way, unless you retire, at least we have a retirement support, and then we could... No, by the grace of God, she said, if that's what the Lord wants us to do, let us surrender to the Lord. And by the way, that's when the church is still small. When I have, the one thing about the military, you have salary, they give you housing, there's medical and so forth. There's nothing like that when I surrender to the Lord. Our church can't even buy us a medical insurance. I tell you, but it's been 29 years, preacher, 30, Lord willing, this coming July. God has been faithful to take care of us. Really, we don't have to worry about what we could get. God is going to take care of us. So the first thing is, let's just worry what we could give, not what we could get. Secondly, let's not demand a contract from God. Look again in our text this morning in Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyards. You know, as the Lord... This householder needed a big job to be done in his vineyard. He began to go out early in the morning. I figured about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock early in the morning. And he found some men, you know, in our place, maybe it's true to you. If you have some big project in the home or maybe a big yard to do or something and you go to Home Depot to buy materials, usually in our place, there's men there that are waiting to be hired by people to do the job. They have a lot of skills and they just wait there until somebody hired them. Well, the Lord found some men and he asked them, are you willing to work? And the Bible said when they agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. In other words, after asking... And then they told the Lord, if you pay us a penny a day, then we'll work for you. Again, sadly, that's what we do. You want to call me in the ministry? Okay, this is what you need to do for me then. Oh, we have a God in heaven who's going to take care of us. The Bible said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, Psalms 84. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I cannot tell you again, for to God be the glory, how God has taken care of me and my family. Both of them finished Bible college, and one serving the Lord, one is a nurse now, and I'm so thankful. We never got hungry. In fact, I'm a diabetic now. I overeat. That's my problem. God has been so good to me and my family. You know, God asked them, the Bible said, the Lord asked them in verse number 3, he went out again on the third hour, it was about 9 o'clock. He came back and still needing some workers, and he asked them, why are you idle? Why are you not doing anything? Well, no one has hired us. He said, we should not have any idleness. I mean, as God's people, there's always a work to do. Again, what a blessing to watch you work together this past week. And my, everything went well. I don't know how many hands I shook and welcome us. And fellowship was wonderful, but especially your church family. Once again, I cannot say enough. Thank you so for serving us this past week. Again, these people didn't even ask this time how much they could get. They just said, you give us a job, we'll work for you. You know, I like what verse 4, the Bible said in verse number 4, and the Lord said to them, and he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, will I give it to you. Again, the Lord said, you don't need a contract, I'll take care of you. Again, over and over and over again. We don't have much to offer God. What a privilege for him to ask us to work and co-labor with him in his vineyard. You have a ministry, that's a privilege. Don't take that for granted. No, I read one time in a devotional, I think it's in the Daily Bread or Baptist Bread, I forgot which one. A Sunday school teacher always come to the pastor and said, well, I want to resign and so forth like that. The pastor said, no, we needed you with those boys and on and on. But on the third time, somehow, the pastor said, okay, that's, I prayed to God, this is, okay. And finally, not only she quit teaching Sunday school, she quit the church. Many years passed. The pastor visiting in a convalescent home. And, you know, she's forgotten about the incident. And a lady stopped him in that convalescent home. And he said, pastor, I don't know if you remember me. And pastor said, well, I'm sorry, I don't. But you know what she said? I was that Sunday school teacher who told you I quit my position. And that was the regret of my life. I ended up soaring the rest of my life because nobody had offered me to teach any Sunday school class again. You know, sometimes we feel like, if without me, this is not going to go and so forth like that. You have a privilege. You better enjoy and be grateful and don't be idle for the work of the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. Just ask pastor. Believe me, he'll have something for you to do. Well, the Bible said in verse number 6, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Again and again, the word idle is there. And said to them, why stand ye all day idle? If you have not found a ministry, fit in, my friend. I mean, just get involved. And that's really what it is. You're a new member here, just start shaking some hands and start serving somewhere, and later on you'll get a responsibility. Just be faithful. Well, anyway, one more hour to work, and there's still people that are idle, and the Lord again told them, just go to the vineyard, whatever is right, I will pay you. Whatever is right. And by the way, we can trust God. He'll take care of our needs. He knows what's best for us. But I also am thankful to the Lord that he did not give me everything I asked for. What a terrible mess some of us might have been in if God just answered what we have asked him. He knows what's best for us. And his timing is better than anybody's timing. I remember when we are praying for a building, the Lord bless us also. And we were in a, you know, old auditorium, and the Lord opened a place for us, and the Lord bless us, and we need a bigger place, and we try this building and that place and this place. God always closed the door. We even have a theme in our stewardship banquet, God is able, and everybody get excited, and then God closed the door and we don't know what to do. And yet God has something better for us. As a church where we really started, with a gracious pastor there, we're continuing to grow, he said, they're not continuing to growing. And he said, we could fit in your place and you could fit in ours. We needed about $1 million for us to repair this building, but you could move to our place. That's a gift, because it's just like a guy that has a four-bedroom home and we have a condominium. And he said, well, you go to our four-bedroom and we go to your condominium. That's what it was. And I'm glad God did not open some doors for us, or else we owe so many millions of dollars. But here, he said, I'll just give us $1 million. We'll fix this old place. We will fit here. And you could have in our property, which is about a $3 million property. 2-point-something acres. What a wonderful... And I'm glad God did not allow us to get into a lot of debt in this building, and because God has something better for us. Just leave it to God. In fact, the Bible said, just be faithful, because in due season you will be weary. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. Just keep on sowing. Just keep on serving God. Just keep on knocking door. Just keep faithful in your bus ministry. Just keep faithful in that Sunday school. As I told you, some of those bus kids that rode our bus are now teaching in our Christian school. Believe it or not. We have one that's getting ready to Bible college. We have one that's majoring in the Marine Corps. Well, it's a blessing. We didn't know that when they were throwing papers and pulling somebody's hair in the bus and things like that. But you know what? They turn out to be good servants of the Lord. We are thankful for them. God said, whatever is right, I'll give you. So don't be concerned what you could get, but just be concerned what you could give. Don't assume, don't demand any contract from God. And thirdly, don't assume that someone owes you anything. Notice verse 8 and 9. So when even was come, the householder gathered all the laborers and began to give out their pay, beginning from the last unto the first. And the ones that just work 1 hour, the Bible said that they got 1 penny. You could almost see in the minds of those that have worked for 12 hours. If those guys who work 1 hour got 1 penny, guess what they're thinking? We probably get 12 pennies. The Bible said in verse number 12, when the first came, they supposed, did you see the word suppose? That they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now the word suppose there a lot of times, because we suppose we get into trouble. You know, we live in a generation that supposed that, you know, they suppose that everybody owes them something. My parents owes me something, that's why they should give me this. My church should owes me something. My pastor owes me something. My government owes me something. Everybody owes me something. After all, I did this. After all, I have this title, I have this position, I have this ministry. They owed me. When we begin like that, to think like that, we are putting ourselves in a position where we'll be disappointed. But if you don't assume for anything and they do give you something, guess what? Going to be blessed. Don't worry if they don't remember your labor. There's one that never forgets, and that's God. He keeps every tears in a bottle, and he said he is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. Just keep on serving the Lord. Just keep your eyes on the Lord, and don't worry as long as he gets the glory. And some people claim the credit. Pastor Nell used to say to me, as long as God gets the glory, that's why I'm here for. Remember, the Lord said to them, whatever is right, I will give you. You know, I was talking to Pastor Tid, and he said he'll be celebrating, and I think they're planning something for their 35th anniversary. And I told him, yeah, we'll be celebrating our 35th year as well, and so forth like that. And he recommended me a good place to go to take my wife. But, you know, on our 25th year, about 9 years ago, and 20 years in the ministry, our church surprised us something. We never expected it, you know. Our church surprised us and called us in the platform, showed some picture of us when we were younger, and now we're older and so on like that. But they gave us an envelope, and then the deacon said, this is a 7-day cruise to Hawaii, Pastor. It's all paid for, including your children. Wow. I didn't expect that. But you know, in my heart, thank you, Lord. I got a freebie on my 25th anniversary or something like that. You know, they gave us, I can never forget that preacher. But you know something? Could you imagine if I suppose that I'm going to get that and they didn't give me nothing? I'm probably a disappointed preacher. But I never expected it, and they did give me, and I am thankful. I did not say no to that. I said, yes, give it to me. But again, when we serve the Lord, sometimes, you know, even pastors forget. We forget sometimes to give credit to whom credit is due. But there's one that does not forget. The record is up on high. That's what my missionary used to remind me. And by the way, let us not even think that when we serve, we are lowering ourselves. The Bible said even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know the word minister? When sometimes we say, well, I'm in the ministry. You know, I'm finding out more that the word ministry is servanthood. That's what the Lord did. He came to seek and to save, and he came to serve and so on. Thank God for position. I'm not putting down. One thing that I'm thankful, I visit the Philippines once in a while. They appreciate the position of their pastor. And I know it's supposed to be true here, and it's true in our church, and I'm grateful for that. But you know, I must not forget that if God has given us a privilege to serve, let's realize we're there for people. And it's not something that's degrading. Remember, the Lord is our example. He came to serve. I watch your pastor. That's what he did this past week. He served us as fellow servants of the Lord. He represented you to serve God's men and God's women. And he spoiled us, and we're grateful. My wife said Mrs. Stead even paid for her lunch when they went shopping. So thank you for teaching my wife to shop, Mrs. Stead. Now notice, go to John very quickly here. My time's almost, I'm gone, I'm done. But anyway, let me just say that the example is the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples in the upper room are waiting for someone to wash their feet. Remember that story? I don't have time. But you know something? When nobody else, they're fighting who's the greatest among them. You know, that's what they're talking about. But you know what the Bible says? The Lord girded himself with a towel, took a basin, filled it with water, and humbled himself before each man and washed their feet. He said, if you've seen my example to you, you should do it to one another. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if we want to be used of God, don't be concerned what we could get, but what we could give. Let's not demand a contract from God. God is faithful. He will give us what is right for us. Let's not assume someone owes us something. And lastly, let's not complain when God does good to other people. That's our problem sometimes. We murmur. They murmured against the Lord. And the Lord said, you did agree with me with a penny, aren't you? Are you upset at me because I am good? Sometimes we wonder, and if we're not careful, we get jealous. How come the pastor pat this guy on the back, he didn't me? How come he got this and not me? And on and on and on like that. And we become jealous in our heart. But you know, whatever is right, the Bible said, he will give it to you. He's a good God. He knows your need, and he knows the timing of your need. He has enough. He'll take care of your need too. And sometimes you wonder, how come this guy, we don't agree with him, and then he blesses him, but not me? Listen, God knows. Untold billions are still untold. I hope that as a church we'll remember we're here, commanded to serve in his vineyard. Let's look in the fields. I was told that this year it's bumper crop here for corn and what's the other one? Beans. What's the other one? But I've seen so many in the field, so green, but they said those are some beans. What's that called? Soybeans. But you know, look at the fields. They're white. Let's realize God is looking for workers. May we say, I'm here. You can use me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for using people like us. We don't have much to offer you, but you are looking for one whose heart is right, who are willing to say, here am I, you can use me. In Jesus' name, amen.